But will Jesus find us watching? 6:17.
Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 12, which is the verse known as the Golden Rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. The Golden Rule, which, by the way, no unsaved person can do this Golden Rule. Only a saved person can do this Golden Rule. Love is the fulfilling of the law, and this is what this Golden Rule is about. So the Golden Rule, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I don't know why it was called Golden Rule, probably because gold is the most precious commodity. And this seems to be a verse which puts forth a very precious, very good principle for all of us to follow. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, if you think about it, if you would want people to do good things to you, you're going to have to be thinking, I need to do good to them. And if I do good to them, they should do good to me. But that doesn't always happen. But it says that ye would that men should do to you. So they may never do it for you. They may never treat you right. But you should still do unto them as you would have them do unto you. But keep in mind, most likely, many of the times, men are not going to do to you as you would like them to do. But you would like them to do it. And if you would like them to do it to you, then you should be the first one to be right in line to do it for them. And if for no other reason than that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved your soul and changed your heart. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 8, just as a cross-reference verse of Scripture here. Romans 13 and verse 8. Romans 13, by the way, has a lot of good things in it. It's almost like Proverbs of the New Testament. But Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, actually I had reference to chapter 12 being like a Proverbs of the New Testament. But in Romans chapter 13 verse 8, it says this, owe no man anything but to love one another. You know, if you owe any man anything, how about owe him love, okay? For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, Jesus came to fulfill the law, too, and he did that by showing his love for you and me and going to the cross and dying there for you and me. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So you want to fulfill the law of righteousness, the law of Christ, the law of liberty, then you need to love one another. And don't owe anything to any man, but if you owe anything, owe him love, okay? Owe him love from yourself to him. Now, back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, why so few are saved? Why is it that so few are saved? Why isn't our church busting out the seams with folks in here saved, born again, can't wait to get together and sing the praises and love the Lord and read the Bible and study? How come? All right, here we go, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The narrow gate is narrow, and few find it because it demands the stripping away of all self-righteousness, and cling only to the Lord. And people don't want that. They are filled with their own desires and their own wants and wishes, and they are not willing to come through a narrow gate in order to go on their way to heaven and glory. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. Now, this is the Lord's words, okay? It's not some preacher's words. This is the Lord's words. He's the one who made us all and everything. And he says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The broad way is wide because all man's own works and Satan's deceptions are all along the way. And that's why. Yeah, he has his own ideas as to how to get to heaven. If you ask anybody, if they died today, do they know where they would go? They'll say, well, I hope, I think that I'm good enough to get to heaven. I haven't been that bad. And on they go with a description as to why they're on their way to heaven. But they're actually on a wide way and a gate that's wide and broad, which leads to destruction. And the Lord says, many there be which go in thereat. That's the saddest part of this whole thing, is that most people are not going to heaven. You could just say it like that, as harsh as that might sound. Most people are not going to end up in heaven. They're going to end up in hell. And that's the Lord's words, not mine. That's the Lord. Many there be that go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate. And the word straight is the idea of it's like this. And narrow, and there's just no going to the right or to the left on this thing. Straight is the gate, for why are and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I tell you what, if you're saved today, and you know you're saved, I mean, you know you're saved, you could say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I trusted Him as my personal Savior. You know what? You ought to be one of the most thankful people on the face of this earth, because you're one of few that have found that direction. You're one of few. And that's why Brother Sam says, we wouldn't mind seeing the track rack empty. We need to get the good news out, because most people are on their way to a broad way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. So it's not like as if you have to look real hard for a soul. They're all around you. They're all around you. In fact, it's really a blessing when you find someone who is saved, isn't it? Isn't that almost a real blessing when you come across someone not necessarily here at our church only, but anywhere you go and you meet someone who you find out they know the Lord as their personal Savior, isn't it a blessing? It really is a blessing to you. Because most people you meet, they aren't saved. And you have nothing in common with them. So why are so few saved? Because wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Why is it that so few are saved? Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Then the Lord continues on in his Sermon on the Mount here to talk about false prophets in verse 15 down through verse 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, I have a line, a dotted line, going from these words, ye shall know them by their fruits, over to verse 1 of chapter 7, judge not that ye be not judged. Okay? I have a line connecting those two verses. And then I have another line connecting those two verses down to verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If you remember the message I preached on, judge not that ye be not judged, but be sure to judge. Okay? I preached it that way. Here the Lord is telling us that we are to judge certain things. So you can't just take verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Oh, I don't think you should judge anybody. You shouldn't talk about anybody's religion. You shouldn't talk about anybody's way that they think is the right way to get to heaven. I mean, who are you to judge? You know, you hear this all the time. That judging there, as I taught you, was to judge hypocritical judging. Hypocritical judging is you're finding something wrong with someone else when you've got the same problem yourself. Then you're not supposed to judge. Okay? But here now the Lord says, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits, which means you're going to have to handle the fruit and judge whether or not they're a false prophet or a good prophet. That's what you have to do. And how will you know it? Down to verse 20. I know I skipped some verses. I'll read them. But down to verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. When my wife and I go shopping and we go to the produce section, she does a good job of judging the fruit. All right? She will not take the first thing off the top of the thing because the guy probably put the worst thing on the top and wanted you to take it. No, I'm just kidding there. But, you know, you get a whole pile of grapefruits, you know, or a whole pile of cantaloupes. If you take the top one, it looks real nice, but turn it over, ooh, it's got a black thing on it. Guess what you do? You put it back and you reach for another one and you look. What are you doing? You're judging. You're judging whether that's a good fruit or not. And we're supposed to do this spiritually with those who come forward and say that they're preachers of the word. All right, let's read it again now. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wow, what a response we're supposed to have to false doctrine right there. All right? Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The kingdom subjects of the Lord here now, of course, this is his kingdom message to them, the Sermon on the Mount. And even during his kingdom, there are going to be those who are not going to be preaching the truth. And you need to, he's telling his disciples, you need to be aware of who's telling you the truth and who isn't telling you the truth. And he says, by their fruits you shall know them. Kingdom subjects are to be careful for false prophets. And I would say, and I'm going to show you some verses, so should we. And Cheryl and I were talking just before the service about some parts of the Sermon on the Mount are applicable to everybody and some are applicable only to the kingdom age. Well, this is going to be applicable to everybody, all of us. We need to be aware of false teachers and false prophets. Characteristics of false prophets is they wear sheep's clothing. All right? They wear sheep's clothing. They're not going to come looking like a devil or a demon to you. You would be aware of that. And you'd say, oh, he's no good. No, they come looking like they are true believers. In other words, they imitate believers. They imitate them. And that's as close as they get to it. They're imitators only. They're not the real thing. Inwardly, the Lord says, they are ravening wolves. Ravening wolves. That means that wolves that are walking around looking for scraps to eat, things to get into, to destroy and kill for their own lust and their own desire. Ravening wolves. Now, these are the Lord's words that he gives towards false prophets. And I don't believe that it's a time for us to handle a false prophet with kid gloves and kind of say, well, you know, it's okay if he has a few doctrines that are wrong. No, we need to consider them as ravening wolves, as the Lord says they are. Some of you, before you got saved, you were sitting in front of a ravening wolf. Wolf, we could say. They would have taken you to hell with them if they could. But you got saved. And you ought to be thankful. Because false prophets are not out there just to be nice, just to give a good sermon now and then. And it really doesn't matter. They're not that harmful. No, they're ravening wolves, the Lord says of them. Their fruits reveal them for what they are. You shall know them by their fruits. And then he says, he just gives examples in nature. You don't gather grapes of thorns. You don't get figs from thistles. And a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree, that'll bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. How about that? So, you know, if a man is a faithful preacher of the Word of God, he's not going to be bringing forth evil fruit because he can't. He's preaching the Word of God. He's being faithful to the Bible. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. We were talking about women preachers this morning, and I was telling you how that I see invariably whenever a woman is in charge of a ministry, there is corrupt doctrine that follows. And that goes right along with this. A corrupt tree will bring forth corrupt fruit. That's what it will do. You are not going to get something good out of a corrupt tree. So, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wow. That tells me what we're supposed to do with it. We're not supposed to abide with it. We're not supposed to put up with it. We're supposed to cut it down. Hew it down. Just cut it right down. And I believe a faithful preacher of the Word of God will do that for his people. He'll say, look, this is false doctrine. This guy here he's got sheep's clothing on, but he's inwardly a ravening wolf. We need to cut that down and have nothing to do with that ministry. And that's what we should do. We got it right there from the Lord. And cast it into the fire. It is worth nothing. So you can't compromise with false doctrine. And we've got the new evangelical group today. I don't know if you know what I mean when I say new evangelical. Evangelical is the word which means to put forth the good news. There is a group called new evangelical, and then there's a group called old-fashioned evangelical, okay? That's us, all right? We're old-fashioned evangelicals, all right? We want to get the good news out there, but we want to do it the old-fashioned way. The new evangelical says, well, you know the world has changed, and the cultures have changed, and if you're going to win young people to the Lord, you got to win them with their music, you got to win them with their lifestyle, you got to win them with their dress, with their standards. And so we just kind of have to loosen up a little bit in order to win them to the Lord. No, 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 no. That's false. That's false teaching. That would be to bring Jesus Christ down to their level. We need to bring them up to Jesus Christ level. We're just the opposite, okay? We want to bring them up. We don't want to bring Christ down to them. We want to bring them up to Christ. They need to turn from their wicked ways and see that they are in sin and they need a Savior. And our Savior's up here. He's not down here or even below. I mean, some of the stuff I see on TV, which goes across as Christianity today, is nothing but the same thing as I see in concerts that the world does. Wicked deeds and dance and hip-hop and the rock and roll music, which is not pleasing unto the Lord. Rock and roll music is appealing to the flesh. It's not appealing to the Spirit and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care how far down the road we get with contemporary music being in the church, I'm going to fight it till the day I die. Okay? I'm going to fight it till I die. You say, well, your church will never be big because you don't have the contemporary music. Well, then so be it. May it never be big if I have to do that in order to get it big. And by the way, getting big isn't what we want to do here. We want to please the Father. We want to do the things that please Him. That's what we want to do. And if doing that makes it bigger, well, then that's an amen. But that's not what we want to do. We want to please the Father and do all things that make Him happy with us. I don't want to get something from the Father so that we can be big and I can have a big name and everybody knows about our church and things like that. No. We want to do these things for His honor, His glory, for His purposes. And He will bring to pass whatever He wants to bring to pass. So, what is the fruit? The fruit, it's not wickedness in its most corrupt sense, but a deceiving sense. That's why you gotta study the fruit, and that's why He gives. You don't gather grapes of thorns. You know, if you see thorns there, you know you're not going to get grapes. You know, if you see thistles, you're not going to get figs. You're inspecting this because they come in sheep's clothing, and they teach their doctrines subtly so that you can't really sense that it's really wicked. It's not wickedness in its most corrupt sense, but in a deceiving sense. We were studying, of course, Adam and Eve, how Eve was deceived by the devil. He didn't come to her and just give her, well, don't you know that you ought to take this fruit. No, he had to deceive her first and say, you know, God doesn't want you to have this because He knows if you eat this that you'll be just like Him. You'll know everything just like He knows. And He's just keeping this from you. See how deceiving it is? It wasn't just a right in her face kind of a thing. Now, here's how we can determine whether they're a good prophet or not. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 13 and starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy 13. Yes, we're going to go to an Old Testament scripture. This would be in the Old Testament dispensation of the law. But God gave Moses information here so that the people would know who to listen to and who not to listen to. Okay? Who should you listen to? Who should you not listen to? Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Why? Because we've been told not to go after other gods. So if a prophet comes along and says, hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with us joining up with the northern tribes up there, so they worship Baal. You know, Baal is really not much different than our God. We can serve him and serve our God together. No, don't listen to that, he says. Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, or testeth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now in our Matthew 7, he says, hew the tree down, right? Hew it down. Right here now, he says, that prophet in the nation of Israel, was to be stoned to death if he encouraged the people to do something contrary to the Lord. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. There you go. That's how you do it. In the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, and even in the Kingdom Age. I believe the Lord's going to be right there with that false prophet in the Kingdom Age to deal with him right away. In the Kingdom Age. Isaiah chapter 8. Another place. Isaiah. So after Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 8. I kind of feel like Charles Stanley here this morning. Sitting on my stool, preaching to you. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. All right, verse 19. Very, very good passage of scripture here, okay? Verses 19 and 20. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There you go. How do you know when to follow a certain person or not? If they are not according to the word. And at the time of Isaiah's writing, it was the law and the prophets. That's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament. I'm holding up now the whole Word of God, okay? And that verse applies to this as well as the law and the prophets. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. That's harsh words. No light in them. Put them to death. Hew the tree down. Put it into the fire. That's how we're to respond to false doctrine. But it seems today that very little is being done to expose false doctrine to the people of the churches. And I'm talking even about our fundamental churches. Very little strong teaching is put out by preachers to expose the ravening wolves that are dressed in sheep's clothing. Very little. But by God's grace, you're going to hear it here. Because I believe that you need to be warned when there is a wolf in the camp. You need to be warned about it. One more place, and I want to take you to this one. Deuteronomy again, chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. And I'm going to start at verse 15. I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. And this is an important passage of scripture to know who to listen to and who not to. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. I believe that that's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the midst of Israel. Okay? He would be a prophet, and Jesus is a prophet. He's a prophet, priest, and king. And he would be like unto me, Moses. And there's a lot of typology between Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto him ye shall hearken. Yes, listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. I believe the Lord is talking to Moses there about his own son, Jesus Christ, right there. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass, now listen to this, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. There you go. Death is the result again. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Here it is. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, on TV especially, you're going to see on these Christian networks, guys get on there and say, well, I got a word from the Lord last night. Hey, if they ever tell you something that they got a word from the Lord last night and it does not come to pass, he's a false prophet. And I don't care how many times he has gotten a word that he says he got and it does come to pass. You know, sometimes you can be right just by chance, you know, you can be right. But if he is wrong one time, he's not a true prophet. He's a false prophet. You say, oh, give a guy a break. No, give him no breaks. Give no breaks. If he speaks something that the Lord did not give him to speak, you write it down. You're going to hear more of the things that the Lord has not spoken. You write it down. More is coming behind. So how important it is for preachers to stay faithful to this word and be preaching just what the Word of God says. And not going out on a limb and saying, well, you know what, I believe that March 21st, the Lord's going to come back for the church. Well, didn't we have, what's his name? Harold Camping do that? I will say to you today, Harold Camping is a false prophet. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I've heard him say some other things which are right and good. He's a false prophet. And you need to stay away from him. And there are other guys who have done the same thing and have set dates and everything else. Guess what? You need to stay away from them. Like the plague. All right? Stay away from them. You want to hear just what the Word of God says. And here's what I can say. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ can come back at any time. I have Bible for that. All right? So I'm not a false prophet. I'm a true prophet. He could come back at any time. At any time. For the church. I could say this. That in the end times, there are going to be more false teachers in the church than ever before. And I can say that. And I'm correct. Because the Bible says that. I'm not saying anything new to you. I didn't get a message from the Lord. The Lord last night showed me that we're really entering into a time of a lot of false teaching and false doctrine and false teachers. No, I know that from the Word of God. I know that. I can say to you this. I know that all the nations are going to gather against Israel someday and they're going to come down on the hills of Israel and God's going to destroy them. I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. I think it's pretty soon. Did you hear me say, I think? I think it's pretty soon. But I have Bible. Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells me it's going to happen. So I don't have to get a word from the Lord last night. Well, Gary, tell the people that Russia and the Arab nations, they're going to get together and come down there. And it's going to happen probably in about the next 3 months. I don't need that. No. I don't need that. I know that that's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it is going to happen. And I can preach it because the Word of God says that. That's why. And I'm also going to say that one day the Lord's going to come back and he's going to destroy the Antichrist and throw him into the lake of fire along with the beast and the false prophet. Yeah, he's going to do that. And that's because it's in the Bible. I didn't get a word from the Lord last night. I got a word right from the Word itself. I got a word from the Word. All right? Okay, well, the church is in the same condition. Now I'm going to show you some church scriptures which tell us we need to be the same way. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, 30. And I just have four more references. We'll be done here. Okay? Acts 20, 29. The Apostle Paul is giving his last words to the Ephesian elders before he would never see them again. All right. So this is like his going away speech to the Ephesian elders. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he says this, "For I know this, that after my departure, wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." You know what? I can say that too. Hey, everybody, guess what? Grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock. How do you know that, Pastor? Because Paul told me, though. Paul told me right here in this verse of scripture right here. Verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So there you go. We're being told it's going to happen. So don't be naive. Don't think that just because a guy comes out on the stage with a Bible in his hand, oh, he must be okay. Oh, he's got a Bible. No. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. They come looking like they're in sheep's clothing. They carry a Bible. And then they start spouting off doctrine which isn't true. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. See, what I'm doing right now, I'm warning you. I'm warning you of these things. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Expressly. I wonder, does anybody have a defined Bible? Does Pastor Waite define the word expressly? Anybody got one of those Bibles? I guess not. Okay, well. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." This is being spoken to you and I in the church age to be aware that in the end times, latter times, people are going to depart from the faith right in the middle of our churches. Right in the middle of our churches. This isn't the lost world. I mean, we know the lost world has doctrines of devils and spirits and that. What's he talking about here? He's not talking about the lost world. He's talking about the church. And how that within the church in the latter times, we're going to have seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. And it goes on to talk about other things as well. Even notice verse 3, forbidding to marry. You know, like the nuns and the priests. All right, Sam? Yes. Okay. Speaketh expressly. Revelation. Revelatory. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Say, oh, Pastor, you're always exposing someone who just doesn't agree with you all the time. No, I'm giving you verses out of the New Testament telling you that we're to expect this to be taking place in the end times. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "But there were false prophets also among the people," and I believe he has reference to the nation of Israel when they wandered through the wilderness, "even as there shall be false teachers among you," those of us during this church age that we live in now, "and even in the kingdom age, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. You know, when a man gets up in a church and says, well, I don't believe it's absolutely necessary for everybody to have to repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ only for salvation. Do you know there are men in Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran churches who stand up and say such things like this? Or who may not stand up and say it, but who believe it in private. That it's not necessary to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's for those people down there at Ray Street Baptist Church, those fundamentalists. You don't have to do that. As long as you're good, as long as you go to church, you give your tithe or your money to the church, you get baptized as a child or whatever, you know, on and on they go ad nauseum with this, you know. That's what they will do. Denying the Lord that bought them. When a man says, I do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that's denying the Lord that bought them. For if he is not virgin born, then how is he born? He's born just like anybody else, as a sinner. But if he's virgin born, then he's born without the taint of sin, and he can go to the cross and die there for your sin and my sin. If they don't believe in the substitutionary atonement, meaning that He died in your place. He didn't just die as a martyr or as an example of someone suffering at the hands of his enemies. No, he died as your substitute. There are men who deny the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that he took your place. That's denying the Lord that bought them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is the last verse, okay? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Hey, how about this? How about this? A man stands up with a new modern version, and he gets to that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, God was manifest in the flesh. But he reads it to you from his version, he who was manifest in the flesh. Is he denying the Lord that bought him? I believe so. So modern version issue is also another thing that comes into play here too. Don't follow those who want to follow new modern versions of the Bible. You get your old-fashioned, fundamental, evangelical Bible called the King James Version, and you hang on to it, because with the changes, they're going to deny the Lord that bought you. I have gone through the whole New Testament. I'm not finished yet with my new Bible, and I've marked every place where they've changed things, and you would be amazed how often they leave the name Christ out, or they leave the name Lord out. In my Bible, it'll say Lord Jesus Christ. In theirs, it'll say Jesus. They leave Lord and Christ out. Or it'll say Lord Jesus, they leave Christ out. Here's another thing. It'll say Jesus Christ, they switch it Christ Jesus. Now, why do we have to fool around with this? Why? I believe it's men who are denying the Lord that bought them. Okay, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. In other words, don't get surprised. No marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, by the way, the devil does not look like the little red-hot demon. You know, the... What's he called? What's that little thing called? I just forgot it. Red-hot. You know, I guess they call him Red Hot. You know, he's all red. He's got horns, and he's got an arrow on the end of his tail, and he looks ugly. That's not the devil. That's the devil fooling people into thinking that's what he looks like. The devil is actually one of the most beautiful creatures God has ever created. Did you hear me? One of the most beautiful creatures God has ever created is the devil himself. He's beautiful. So don't be fooled. Oh, he's one of those red hot things, you know. He's all red hot and steam coming out. He's an angel of light, transforming himself as a minister of light. And he's the exact opposite. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, you take a look at the Pope, for instance, Pope Francis. Okay. There he's dressed up in a very nice robe. And I'm sure he's a nice guy. Well, I'm not sure about that, but okay. He looks like a nice man and everything. I don't think he would, encourage you to become a harlot or a prostitute or something like that. At least I don't think so. We got ministers in the churches all around Catasauqua here who look very nice this morning and who probably speak very highly and very nice and nice words and everything. But when they deny the Lord that bought them, they are ministers of Satan. And it doesn't matter how nice they look and how their robes look and everything, they're ministers of Satan. And you are to be warned, okay? Do not follow them. You inspect the fruit, okay? Be fruit inspectors. Inspect the fruit. Expect good fruit from the good preachers, all right? Expect good fruit. Inspect the fruit. And don't be taken in. Do not be deceived. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, and I believe it applies to us in the church age as well, as it applied to the people of Israel in Moses' day with his passages in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 8, and chapter 8, and Isaiah's day in chapter 8. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there is no light in them. So be faithful to a Bible-believing ministry, a Bible-believing pastor, like myself. You know, be faithful to me. Well, you know, I need to be faithful to the Lord, and you need to inspect what I'm saying to you. You need to go home and say, okay, is Pastor Freeman telling me the truth? That's what you need to do. And by God's grace, I believe I am, I hope I am, and I want to be preaching the truth all the time. So you make sure you inspect the fruit, okay? Dear God, we thank you for the time of fellowship together in church this morning. Pray for the people who put up with my voice and sitting down to preach here this morning. Pray you'd help me to feel better even tonight, that I could stand and preach the Word of God. And help me to feel better. And help these people to be strong in the Lord, faithful to the Word of God, and help them to be good fruit inspectors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.